Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be together. You are the one we adore. You are the one we praise. We say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. How we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have this evening to join together and to think and pray and understand by the help of the Holy Spirit the glory of God as you have shown it to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be together, and we thank you for the ministry life of this church and all the various things that are going on tonight all across this campus. And we pray for all the ministries, all the Bible studies, all the times and fellowship of our people together. May we honor you. May you be pleased with what we are doing. We ask now that you'd help us as we come to understand more about who you are in your glorious, incomprehensible nature and majesty and glory. May what we think about tonight from your word cause us to worship and honor you and glorify you in all of the parts of our life. And we thank you now that we can read our Bible in our own language. We thank you for our English Bibles, and we thank you for the blessing they are to us. Now we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to see all of you. Good evening. If you have your outline, we're coming to the second article of our confession. These days we're talking about knowing the truth. We're talking about what we believe, and so I want to encourage you, as I've mentioned before, if you know some of our people who are new to the faith, new believers in Christ, those who have been around for a while but aren't certain about all that we believe and why we believe it, that's what we'll be doing on Wednesday nights, Lord willing, for the days ahead. These things come to us. Our confession is called the Baptist Faith and Message, and so we come tonight to Article 2, and we begin to talk about God. So let me just read, and you have the little booklets that are there provided for you are the entire confession, but we're taking them, we're taking it article by article. There is one and only one living and true God. He is an intelligent, spiritual, and personal being, the creator, redeemer, preserver, and ruler of the universe. God is infinite in holiness and all other perfections. God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and His perfect knowledge extends to all things, past, present, and future, including the future decisions of His free creatures. To Him we owe the highest love, reverence, and obedience. The eternal triune God reveals Himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with distinct personal attributes, but with division of nature, without division of nature, without division of nature, essence, or being. I'd like for us to open by taking our Bibles and turning to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Now we come to speak about the unspeakable. We come to honor and glorify God. The more we come to understand and know who He is, the greater it leads us to worship and to praise. Like one old preacher said, theology is a life of worship. Theology, the study of God, is a life of worship. So now hear the word of God. It is our prayer tonight as we enter into this glorious time of considering the majesty and glory and goodness of our God. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, also on your outline, we find ourselves at the beginning here talking about 1 Timothy 1:17. These are introductory comments that I want you to hear tonight because they help us as we consider the greatness of our God and his glorious nature. Paul is writing in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and as he's writing to Timothy, the young preacher, he reminds him of some essential truths, some very important principles of life. In 12, I thank Christ Jesus who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. And then he breaks into praise. This is a part of our praise to the Lord as we begin to consider the glory of who he is. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Eternal, that is, to the King forever, the forever one, the endless one, the eternal one. To the immortal King, that is, to the one who is imperishable, who always is, never perishes, and to the invisible one, that is, to the unseen God who has been revealed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight I come and stand before you to give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my Savior. I'm unashamed to be called a Christian, and I want to say that because the only way we truly understand the glory of God is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Number one, there is one and only one living and true God. So I have for you here some verses from the Bible that we'll use just to meditate on these truths. It's so difficult to take and pull together one place in the Bible that describes all of these things. And certainly these eight parts of our confession don't do justice to all that can be said about the glory of God. But this first one, let's begin. There is one and only one living and true God. We live in a world and time where most people don't believe there is a God. We live in a time in which most people believe that the idea of a God is something from the past, something of an idea for people who are weak and unstable and who need support mentally. And so they, as the psalmist says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so there are the mass majority of people in the world today suppress the truth about God, that there even is a God. But the Word of God tells us, even in the book of Hebrews, that faith begins by believing that God is, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. So when we know that there is a God, we seek that God, and we come to know more about Him. And the Word of God, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn who the unseen God is, but there is one God. Look at these passages that come from various places, both in the Old Testament and in the New. Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel." This is the famous, you might call it, this is the creed. This is the creed of Israel. "Hear, O Israel." It's called the Shema, the Hebrew word that means to hear. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord," that is Yahweh, "is our Elohim." The Lord, Yahweh, is our Elohim. Yahweh is one. Exodus 6, when God is speaking to Moses, He says, "I am the Lord." I, personal, singular. I am the Lord. And then Deuteronomy has these quite powerful words, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords." Notice, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality. Let's pause for a moment. There is one and only one living and true God who is great and mighty and awesome. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says something here that's quite good, and I am tempted and could be drawn to spend all the time on this verse, but I want you to see the two parts of it because it shows us this unbelievable, beautiful picture of our one true God revealed as Father, Son, Spirit. Paul says, "Yet for us, Christians, there is but one God." Now listen, "the Father from whom are all things, and we exist for Him." So let's read that again. One God, the Father, from whom are all things. Everything is from God the Father. Everything is from God the Father. All that is created, all that ever exists, all is from the Father. And we exist, notice, for Him. This is our understanding. Why do we submit to God? Because He made us for Himself. We exist for Him. We don't exist to consume ourselves with our own selfish desires. We exist for Him. But then notice, "and one Lord Jesus Christ." Please notice the phrase, "by whom are all things." From whom the Father, by whom are all things. That is, the Lord Jesus is the creator of all things. And we exist, please notice, not for Him, but through Him. This passage alone deserves great, great study and consideration. I begin tonight by reminding us that there is one and only one living and true God. There are not multiple gods. There are not other kinds of idols and other kinds of gods. There's only one. And He is, number two, an intelligent, spiritual, personal being. He is an intelligent, spiritual, and personal being. He's the creator, redeemer, preserver, and ruler of the universe. So what do we know? Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to, I don't have it here, but I want you to hear these words from Exodus 3. And many of you are familiar with these words, and rather than have you turn there, this is when Moses meets God at the burning bush, the bush that doesn't burn up. And so God begins to speak to Moses. He's turned aside, you remember? And he turns aside. He's curious about this burning bush. Now Moses is told by God that he's to go on mission and speak to the children of Israel. Exodus 3. And what do we have him saying? Moses says in verse 13, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name? What is God's name? What shall I say to them?' And God said," please notice, "'I am who I am. I am who I am. Not I was who I was. Not I will be who I will be. I am who I am.'" You see, God is the God, eternal God. He is the God who is the God of the present for us. He is always the same. He is I am. He is I am. And so over and over, God speaks of himself to Israel. "I am the Lord your God." He says I am in so many different ways. Job says on your notes there, Job 19, "For as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives." The one who redeems us, God redeems us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And at last he will take his stand on the earth. John 4:24, what did the Lord Jesus teach us? It is essential for us all to remember God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 103:19, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all." These are these descriptive words, Isaiah 43, "I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior." Jeremiah, "The Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the eternal King." You see, these all describe for us this intelligent, spiritual, personal God who creates, redeems, preserves, and rules. What did we hear our brother read earlier tonight? When Levi read from Psalm 16, "He is our preserver. He is our redeemer. He is the one who keeps us." Paul says in Ephesians 4:6, "We have one God and Father of all." One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Did you see it? This is the power and the glory of our great God. He is the Father of all. He is above all. He is through all and in all. And what do we have from the revelation? "I heard something like the voice of a great multitude and like the sound of many waters." Get this in your mind now. Go if you've been to Niagara Falls, or you've been to some great falls, or you've been to the ocean and listen to the roar of the waters. Multiple oceans, multiple Niagara Falls. The sound of many waters. Can you in your mind fathom it? "The voice of a great multitude like the sound of many waters and like the sound of many peals of thunder." The sound, the powerful sound of this saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." There is one and only one living and true God. He is an intelligent, spiritual, personal being. "I am," he says. See, all of us say, "I am," and we say our name. "I am." God says, "I am." He is the creator, redeemer, preserver, and ruler of the universe. And God is infinite in holiness and in all other perfection. Sometimes you'll hear preachers and others talk about attributes. The attributes of God. I think that in our confession, we use a better word, the perfections of God. The perfections of God. Yes, these are his attributes, but they are his perfections. They describe his perfect nature, character, and being. He is this one who is perfect in all of his ways. I give you just a few places here just to see some of the ideas about his glory. And you saw from Psalm 145 the description of some of those great perfections. He is infinite in holiness. That is, his holiness has no end. It is infinity. It is holiness without end. It is not holiness that began and holiness that ends. God is infinite in glorious holiness. We're reminded, you know, Isaiah 6, and also we hear it again in heaven in Revelation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory. They do not cease to say in heaven, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. The Lord Jesus reminded someone who was talking about Him being the good teacher. He reminded them, no one is good but God alone. Amen. The nature of God is to be good. The nature of God is to be holy. He is the one who is holy. But I wanted to call your attention especially to Exodus 34. Because if you were listening carefully, or if you looked at it carefully as we read Psalm 145, you saw a portion of Exodus 34, God speaking of Himself. When God describes Himself and His glory and His perfections, this is what He said when Moses said to Him, show me Your glory. God, I want to see Your glory. And Moses was able to see the glory of God as he passed by. From the back, he saw the glory of God, but he more than saw, he heard. He heard God speak of His own nature. Perhaps you've missed this when you've looked at this. The Lord passed by in front of Moses and proclaimed. This is what God spoke of. He said, the Lord God. Those are important words. Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh Elohim. Notice, perfections, compassionate. Perfections, gracious. Perfections, slow to anger. Perfections, abounding in loving kindness. And it's also implied, abounding in truth. These perfections. Who keeps loving kindness for thousands. Perfections. Who forgives iniquity. Perfections. He forgives transgression. And He forgives sin. Yet, here is His perfections. He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of fathers on children and the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. Oh, that we might pause and consider the great and glorious infinite perfections of God. This is the one with whom we have to do. This is the one, Paul says, we exist for Him and we exist through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one who has been compassionate to you and to me. This is the one who's been gracious to you and to me, continues to be. This is the one who's been slow to anger. This is the one who gives more loving kindness to us than we deserve, and truth to us. He keeps loving kindness for thousands. He forgives iniquity and transgression and sin, but He is a righteous God and does not leave the guilty unpunished. But we also see the glorious statement from the Song of Moses, Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting. How can you describe that which is eternal and never ends? You use this phrase, from everlasting to everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting, You are God. Psalm 119 declares the perfection of His goodness. All of us in this room to this very moment today have experienced the goodness of God. The goodness of God. We live today, we move and have our being in the goodness of God. We are the ones who benefit from the wisdom of God. The whole of created order and all of the ways in which God put the universe together and all of the glories of it, the beauty of the angels and the work of man as His the crown of creation and all that is His, it shows us His great wisdom. To the only wise God, Romans 16, through Jesus Christ be glory forever. And then what do we remember? God never changes. Amen. You talk to Brother Mike, somebody said, that's an old timer around here. I promised tonight I wasn't going to chase too many rabbits, but this is a good illustration. So one of the old timers who knew me back when I was the interim at this church years ago when it was up there at the Horizon School. What's it called?
Discovery
School. He says to me, "You sure are a lot different than you were then." And I said to him, "And so are you." We all change, don't we? We all change. There's variations. Sometimes I'm hot, sometimes I'm cold, and the most terrible times is when I'm lukewarm, but I'm not alone. We have variations. But I read to you from James, every good thing, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Please notice, again, God is infinite. Here's a perfection. With whom there is no variation. Not even an inch. Not even a meter. Not even a centimeter. Not even a millimeter. There is no variation. The bubble is always perfect. It's right on line. There is no variation or shifting shadow. God does not cast a shadow. God is light. In Him there is no darkness. 1 John 1:5, and of course by this the love of God is manifested. What is the greatest expression of God's love for us? He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to this world. This is why we keep saying to the world of people who are lost in their sins, by the way, looking for someone to love them. We say to them, someone has loved you. Someone loves you in your current condition. Jesus Christ was sent by the unseen God because He loves you and He wishes for you to have a new eternal life. God is all powerful. And notice the phrase, all powerful, all knowing, and His perfect knowledge extends to all things, past, present, future, including future decisions of His free creatures. This is important for us to see. When the Lord was speaking again to Abraham, Genesis 17, I am El Shaddai. It's the way it reads in Hebrew. I am El Shaddai. El Shaddai. I am the Almighty. When King Nebuchadnezzar, the proud king, the proud, arrogant Babylonian king who thought he was the greatest, when God disciplined him, and after he came out of his time of living like a beast, he raised his eyes toward heaven. One of the greatest statements of praise to our God comes out of the mouth of a pagan king who learned his lesson about the glory of God. Listen to it. I raised my eyes toward heaven and my reason returned to me. That's how you get your mind back. That's how you get your mind back. You turn your eyes toward heaven. You look to God. And I blessed, notice, the Most High. That's our God. The Most High. There's nothing higher than He. Amen. The Most High. And praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion. It never ends. His dominion is everlasting and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but He does according to His will in the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" The Lord reminds us in Matthew 7 of God's powerful, all-knowing. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? He is the one who gives. He extends grace. He is the one also that the Lord said, you have this one, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is the glory of His power, all-knowing power, His perfect knowledge extending to all things. I could have given many other illustrations of what God knows. He sees the beginning from the end. He is the one who understands and has ordained all the plans and purposes of this world. We just spent an enormous amount of time God gave us in the book of Isaiah, going all the way through the prophecies from the first coming of the Lord Jesus until the second. And we read in the book of Revelation, as well as from these great prophets, pictures of the soon coming Lord Jesus, the future that we've not yet experienced, the future. You see, God is the one who knows it all. When we bow our knees and pray to our God, He is the one who knows the beginning from the end. You're not going to have to tell God when you pray and give Him an update on something He's forgotten. He knows everything. All you have to do is come before Him, the one who knows all things, the all-wise, the all-powerful, the all-knowing. He knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. The Word of God tells us. He knows what we will say before the words are even formed on our tongue and our brain is processed in order to say words. He is the all-knowing one. He knows all things. He knows all of us. He sees what's in our hearts. He knows our motivations. God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and His perfect knowledge extends to all things, past, present, future, including the future decisions of His free creatures. You see, people still have the opportunity to say yes or no to God. They're not robots. They have this ability to, with their own will, choose and make choices about their relationship to God. To Him we owe the highest love, reverence, and obedience. How is the Lord Jesus? Think about this. You're in the place of the Lord Jesus. How are you going to teach? How are you going to teach Christians how to honor God properly in prayer? It's the Lord's Prayer. I spent time with our church on this. When you say, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name," do you know what you've just said? You can pause. "Our Father who's in heaven," and all of these things we've just talked about. Our Father in all of His perfections. Our Father in all of His knowledge. Our Father in all of His power and His magnificence. Our Father in all of His wisdom, eternal wisdom and glorious perfect knowledge of all events, past, present, future. Our Father. When you say, "Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name," which is all of these things we're describing here. You know, the Lord said also in another place, "You have one Father who is in heaven." Don't say Father to someone on earth. You have one Father who is in heaven. But this is the phrase in John 17:3. I want you to see as we're moving to close here. This is quite an astounding statement in the prayer of our Lord Jesus to God the Father, coming just before the crucifixion. "This is eternal life." This is eternal life. "That they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ." You know what it is to have eternal life? It is to know God. And you only come to know who God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who's shown us the way. He is the one who has revealed to us all of the great truths about the invisible, unseen God. Someone says, "I want to know who God is." Then pay attention to what Jesus has said. He is the one who points the way for us. Here is eternal life, knowing God. Here is eternal life in heaven, knowing God. I think somehow, and this is why I'm spending my time on Sunday mornings on the promises the Lord has given to us on the earth about heaven. I guess people have the idea that when I get to heaven, I'll have all knowledge and I won't learn anymore. What kind of crazy thinking is that? We'll continue to learn and know the glory of God forever. There'll be no stopping. There'll be no end to it. There'll never be a time when we won't. This is eternal life, that they may know you and the only true God and the one you've sent. This is why the Lord Jesus prays to God the Father and says, "I pray that my people can be where I am," listen, "so that they may see my glory." Seeing it, experiencing it, knowing it, this is the glory of heaven. But to Him we owe not only the highest love and reverence, but our obedience. "If you love me, you do what I say," the Lord said. And then finally tonight, we'll enlarge upon this, Lord willing, next week. We'll talk about how God is one God revealed, as we say, one God in three persons. As we speak of God, we speak of Him as a triunity. The eternal triune God reveals Himself to us as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not three gods. Not three gods. There aren't three gods in the Bible. There is one true living God who has revealed Himself to us as Father, Son, Spirit. And we have lots to understand, but our confession is very clear here. I like the statement. It's very succinct, but it has a lot in it. And that's why I want us next week, Lord willing, to talk about it in a little bit more detail. The eternal triune God reveals Himself to us as Father, Son, Holy Spirit with distinct personal attributes. That is, God as He reveals Himself as Father, God as He reveals Himself as Son, God as He reveals Himself as Holy Spirit. Yet there is no division of nature, essence, and being. We have all kinds of examples in the Word of God where these things are put together, but we have to express, how do you describe the glorious nature of God as Father, Son, Spirit? How do you describe this? This is beyond description, but we work at it. The Lord Jesus gave to the disciples, it's the way we baptize. Every week, we just baptized three young boys this last week, baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is not to be thought of as first God was a Father, then He became a Son, and then He became the Holy Spirit. No. You see, the one true and living God is Father, Son, Spirit. As one old preacher said, when you say our Father, you're saying our Father, Son, Spirit. That's what you're saying. You speak of God as one, and yet He has these distinctions of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said something rather strange to the disciples that they didn't catch at the time. The Holy Spirit brought it back to them, and the church has talked about this for thousands of years. Notice John 14. I have it on your outline. Notice this description. Jesus is speaking, though He's separate from God the Father on earth, and He says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me. This is an astounding statement. I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me. The Father who lives in Me does His works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. And then, of course, the Lord goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name. He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said. We have examples of God as He reveals Himself when the Lord Jesus is baptized. God the Son is being baptized in the waters by John. The voice from heaven says, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit descends, as it were, like a dove upon Him. You see, my friends, this is the glory of knowing the Lord Jesus. Galatians 4:6, again, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, and we cry what? Abba, Father. There are so many things for us to understand, so many things that we do not understand, and the best of our preachers, the best of our teachers, do their best to try to describe, as I've said, the indescribable. But that's where we find ourselves tonight. When I hear these things, I want to get on my knees, better than that, lay on the ground, and say what our great old hymn says, and this is how we'll close tonight. You have it there on your paper. Some of you could quote all the words just like I can. But here's the old song. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before Thee, which wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide Thee, though the eye of sinful man Thy glory may not see, only Thou art holy, there is none beside Thee, perfect in power, perfect in love, perfect in purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, All thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, now bless your word. We honor you tonight as our great and glorious God, the one who knows all things. As we read tonight, you are all powerful, knowing you have perfect knowledge. You know the beginning from the ending. You know our lives and the day we start. You know the day you've given us for our last breath. May we honor and glorify you every day of our life until you return, Lord Jesus, or you take us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.